Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a fantastic day today. As always, hope you guys had a great weekend. And be sure to check and follow the Team_HealthMasters Instagram page. Be sure to follow us on there and put some comments down. We're always happy to get some feedback and also to some reviews on the products. So thank you again for the support on that. And also, too, be sure to check out the product of the week. I talked about it last week in detail, the Testo Plus formula that has the Long Jack and also the Shilajit formula in it, which comes from the Himalaya Mountains. And also, too, if you haven't heard the show last week, make sure you listen to it on that product. Shilajit's gotten a lot of popularity and a lot of publicity over the last couple of years because it is so effective for increasing testosterone. However, a lot of the people sell it, a lot of these companies sell it in just straight tar form, which is not necessarily bad in that way. The problem is a lot of them are not heavy metal tested for aluminum, arsenic, mercury, and a lot of those tests that they've done on those formulas come back positive for heavy metals. On our formula, we triple test them, the third-party assay tested. They go through rigorous research to make sure everything's as clean as it possibly can. So you're getting not only a top-tier product with zero compounds as far as chemicals in it, you're getting the purest extract form you can possibly get. So be sure to check it out on the website at healthmasters.com. And also one of the first big articles that I saw today, and this is a landmark. I mean, this is a really big deal here. I was reading about it over the weekend, is that the FDA now has basically lost their lawsuit over the ivermectin social media telling everybody what they can and can't do and telling doctors what they can and can't prescribe. The FDA, which denied any wrongdoing still to this day, still denied any wrongdoing, they will now have to remove all ivermectin social media website posts under the lawsuit settlement agreement. They said the removed content warning people not to use ivermectin to treat COVID-19. Plaintiffs said the settlement is a big win for patients and patient-physician relationship. The U.S. FDA has agreed to take down all website and social media posts warning people not to take ivermectin to treat COVID-19. And what's interesting about this is the FDA also has to delete the extremely popular viral post where they said, "You are not a horse, you are not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it. Do not use ivermectin to treat COVID-19. And remember, that post went, I mean, absolutely viral on the FDA's Twitter site because nobody could really figure out what was going on because ivermectin had already been shown repeatedly to do really well in conjunction with zinc and vitamin C and D3 to pretty much stop the transmission and stop the replication of COVID. I mean, it worked incredibly well. Yet the FDA said, no, you can't use it for that. You can't take it. You can't get it. Doctors, you can't prescribe it, which was flat out criminal because the FDA doesn't have the ability to tell physicians what they can and can't prescribe, especially off box, because as we already know, doctors prescribe certain things all the time that aren't supposed to be prescribed for certain ailments. And on top of that as well, it was the first time you actually had the FDA telling people not to take something that was actually preventing people from getting COVID or getting worse COVID or being able to recover from it faster. And so this is an interesting lawsuit, and they lost, which is a huge, huge deal. So I'm going to post this on the website. You guys can read up on it because this is a really, really effective marker to the point now because the FDA demonized ivermectin so much, which was a highly effective drug for the early treatment of COVID, and the consequences were very clear of this. Dr. Merrick said, it is clear this led directly to the deaths of millions of people, so the FDA has blood on their hands. Strong statement that Dr. Merrick put out there. But again, can't really argue with that topic because you remember with everything that happened with COVID, the sad part, the part that showed everybody, I think that was actually awake, and realizing that the government was not there for anybody's health or protection is when they told you there's nothing you can do. All you can do is essentially sit in your house, close your blinds, don't talk to anyone, don't go anywhere, don't do anything, wear a mask if you walk outside, and just huddle in the corner and cower in fear. Don't take vitamins, don't take ivermectin, don't do anything whatsoever. We're on our way with an experimental shot. That's the only thing we can do to save you is put an injection into you that's completely experimental. So the irony about this was again, you never had any discussions on vitamin C coupled with zinc, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. None of that was ever even able to be spoken of, much less actually talked about in the general aspect in the medical field. You couldn't even speak about it on social media without getting banned and blocked. So again, this is another factor on why everybody's got to realize it is so important to get the truth out there on a regular basis. And that's what we do here on the Ted Austin Brower Show with healthmasters.com. How are you doing, Dad? What do you think about this new landmark lawsuit settlement?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to me because, you know, they've had to come out now and really eat some crow with what they've done and what they've told us.
They actually have.
And the sad part about it is they're still admitting no wrongdoing.
I know.
Well, because they've become culpable. you know, in a court of law, they're saying I've done this and I'm responsible for thousands of people dying because of this. So therefore, I'm not going to admit I did any wrongdoing. I'll just retract what I said.
Yeah.
It's kind of a legal thing, I guess. In fact, I posted this and it says there's an article that came out. It said, safe and effective lies. 17,000 scientists and physicians confirmed that governments around the world, along with corporations, willfully and deliberately lied to humanity about the COVID vaccines. They must be charged with fraud, wrongful advertising, mass negligent homicide. The data shows that the COVID vaccinated are more likely to be infected or have disease or even death if they've been vaccinated compared to unvaccinated people. The COVID vaccines damage your heart, brain, reproductive tissue, that would be the testicles and the ovaries, lungs, increase cancer, and permanently damage your immune system. Some people are even saying that Kate Middleton, you know, she was on TV back in 2021, also she was basically being injected with the COVID vaccine. This is the princess over in England. And they're saying that her cancer now is probably being caused by that. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. I'll go into more on that a little bit longer later about the Count Dracula component of the royal family. I'm not joking that it is. Prince Charles is related to Vlad the Impaler. He's one of the great-great-grandsons or whatever. And he basically talked about, you know, owning property still in Transylvania. And so Vlad the Impaler was known as Count Dracula. The European Parliament asked Pfizer this direct question. Was the Pfizer COVID vaccine tested on stopping the transmission of the virus before it entered the market? And Janie Small, the Pfizer president, replied, no. We had to really move at the speed of science. Speed of science? What does that even mean? Speed of science goes slow, by the way, to really understand what was taking place in the market. At that point, we had to do everything at risk. They risk your lives deliberately for nothing and lie to you. The United States government is captured by corporations. That's a fact. BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, and their lobbying efforts, all owned by the international banking cartels and bloodline families. Doctors warn the world to stop taking the COVID vaccines and boosters. They are toxic, lethal, ineffective, and must be stopped. They damage the brain, heart, liver, bone marrow, and fetus, causing all sorts of human harm in the human body. The CDC and the FDA misinformation is causing death and injury in pregnant women and newborn babies around the world. 17,000 physicians and scientists demand that Pfizer, Moderna, Janssen, AstraZeneca, and their enablers be immediately indicted for fraud for willfully withholding and omitting COVID vaccine safety information. There is excess mortality and death all over the world, and populations are suddenly collapsing. Told you, didn't I? It was going to be eugenics. We warned you this years ago. A top U.S. cardiologist said, I'm going to be very clear about this. The vaccine is killing people, and it's killing large numbers of people. The CDC has over 16,000 Americans that have died within a few days, after taking the vaccine, and that's probably gross underreporting. The public must demand criminal charges for illegal advertising by the media, the CDC, the NIH, FDA, Fauci, all the rest, which advertise COVID vaccines as safe and effective with no side effects. Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates were two of the main criminals in this global fraud. This was not a mistake. This is an intense article. This was a deliberate, orchestrated plan to deceive you and manipulate you into taking a toxic experimental injection that's never been given to humans before. Well, they did give it to humans before, and the tests failed horribly. And so that's why they said they couldn't be put into humans, because all the cats and ferrets that were done on the initial studies, they all died. So when we sit back here and we watch all of this stuff and we see what's going on, we kind of just step back and we go, you know, wait a minute, is it that bad? And it really is that bad. And it's sad to me because I don't know how to say this. You know, I was telling a friend of mine today, I was saying, you know, it's really nice having the weekends because I don't have to read a lot of the stuff over the weekends. And that's why we always try to keep this thing at a positive note on the shows. I don't even know how I can make anything. I just read it positive. And again, you know, do the spike protein protection program that we have at healthmasters.com, spike protein survival kit. You need to be on that every single day. But here's a really good poem by a good friend of mine, Julia Rose. This is about Jesus. It said, why did I enter this world with a cry? What was I crying out for? Was it you, Lord? You knitted me in my mother's womb. Your hands molded me from clay. You cradled me closely, paying attention to the smallest detail. You even numbered each hair on my head. Did heaven hear my first lonely breath without you? Feeling the pain of losing my first love, my lungs burst and with a meek yet powerful little roar. I am yours and you are mine. Entering this world, separation from your sweet embrace left a hole in my heart. Though my dear mother's arms comforted me, my spirit still wrestled with emptiness, a void that I couldn't articulate, left me feeling incomplete. The intimate time we shared, when it was just you and me, I'd somehow forgotten. In stillness, I sought after you, but I didn't know where to look. In pursuit of truth, I chased after lies, a job, spouse, money, accomplishments, self-help. No matter my success or failure, my fragile heart still searched for a peace beyond understanding. I didn't know you, so I walked in ignorance. I didn't know you, so I couldn't share with you my children. I didn't know you, but you still love me. I didn't know you, but I do now. I searched my whole life to find you, only discover that you never left me. And this is her website is www.believerchristianart.com. She's also a phenomenal artist. You can go ahead and look her up if you'd like. And good friend, good lady. And she really, really wrote a beautiful poem there. I've sent it out to a lot of people and got a lot of feedback back on it. So anyhow, this the reason I read her poem was this. Jesus is never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He already paid the price for you on Calvary, and he wants you with him all the days of your life, all the days of his existence with you on this planet in your life, because he's an eternal being. Always remember that, and that's why we stand our ground. That's why we draw the line in the sand, and we say, no, we're not going to do this. We're going to go ahead and stay together with God all the days of our life, because we're only here for a little while. You know, age is kind of meaningless. You know, I've said this before on the show, and I'll say it again. If we're in eternity for a billion years, and you know, you're a billion and 50 years old, somebody else is a billion years old, what difference does that make anymore? So it's all about eternity when it comes to Christ and with God. Remember, we were bought at a price, and God gave his life for us, and human beings kill their own creator. Think about that for a second. That's pretty messed up. It's like, I guess, like, that was kind of like Boris Karloff going after, you know, the Frankenstein monster going after Boris Karloff back in the old Frankenstein movies. Speaking of Frankenstein movies, you know, this is some crazy stuff when you stop and look at the crazy stuff that we have as far as the royal family. And, you know, and Kate Middleton seems like a very nice lady, and I've got nothing but nice things to say about her, but, you know, she's part of that royal family. And I know with Princess Diana, that was a pretty big mess up too, and she was actually killed over a Druid worship site in England, and she was died there. And after Princess Diana died, I'm going to read this to you. Al-Fayed calls the royals a Dracula family. You know, this is, I posted this. You guys can read it so you know we don't make this crazy stuff up. Luxury store owner Mohammed Al-Fayed said on Monday the death of Princess Diana, this is back way back when, and his son Dodi in 1997 Paris car crash was a murder and accused the royal family of wanting to get rid of Diana. In an emotional appearance at the inquest of their death, Fayed accused Prince Philip of being a Nazi and a racist. You want to know his original name? It ends with Frankenstein, he said to court. He said, Frank, Diana had suffered 20 years from this Dracula family. I'm going to let you read the rest of this stuff. This is actually posted by Reuters, so you'll find that actually interesting. Now, also now King Charles has been diagnosed with cancer. You guys know that. Remember, the royal family has been long, long rumored to have been involved in child pedophilia, incest, all kinds of other crazy activities in the palaces that we've talked about before in length on the show, which I'm not going to go into today. But this is a weird group of weirdos, of bloodline families. And the bloodlines that they're familiar with, the bloodline families that they come down through, they claim are from Lucifer himself, through the ancient Cain bloodline. So, you know, whether or not these guys are just kind of sitting around someday smoking crack, I guess, and making stuff up, I don't know. But there's some weird stuff going on in this royal family. I don't follow any of these people, but my condolences to her coming down with cancer, because she seemed like a nice lady and she probably doesn't want to be in this mess anymore. Or she could have started coming off script. It's time to write her out of the story. I don't know. This seems all weird to me. Austin, what do you think?
I just remember back in 2012, that weird incident where that girl had been missing for like 2 months, 17-year-old girl, and then they found her body by the royal palace, out of the Queen's palace. You remember that?
Well, I remember the time. I remember that little kid was climbing out of the palace, you know, on sheets he had tied together. He was naked. He's like 7, 8 years old, and he's climbing out of the palace. And they said, "Oh, nothing to see here. Move on."
Yeah, no. There's some weird. Like I said, and there, you can look it up. In 2012, there's a girl. She's a 17-year-old girl. She'd been missing for like 2 months. And all of a sudden, they found her body in the adjoining park that was part of the royal palace, the Queen's palace over there. You can pull it up online. Weird stuff happens over there.
These people are a bunch of weirdos.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole today. I got too many other things to talk about. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. New ultra-processed toddler milk is now starting to become popular as a more cost-effective form of milk. This is crazy now. Essentially, what this is a way to advance the formula market, the baby formula market, into the toddler world now. This is crazy. They said toddler milk is becoming so popular that over a third of Australian toddlers are now drinking it. Parents are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on it globally in an attempt to save money over cow's milk. They said around the world, toddler milk makes up nearly half of total formula milk sales now, with 200% growth just in the last 10 years. More growth is expected to come. They said we're concerned about the growing popularity of this new toddler milk, but what actually is it? It's appropriate, allegedly, and marketed for children ages 1 to 3. It's a ultra-processed food is what it's classified as, and it's a skim milk powder with either cow or soy milk. vegetable oil, sugars, emulsifiers, and added vitamins and minerals. And essentially what it is, it's baby formula that is more advanced, so to speak, for as toddler milk. So you can mix this stuff up and essentially make a jug of this toddler milk and throw it in your refrigerator. If you've ever looked at the ingredient list on a lot of formulas, not all of them, but majority of the child formulas on the market, they're downright disgusting. I would never even drink it and put it in my own body. With the emulsifiers, the monodiglycerides, the high fructose corn syrup solids, the soy protein, everything in between, they're garbage. That's why we have the goat's milk formula on the website. You can pull up there and go into detail on how to put together that formula if you can get access to goat's milk. Much, much cleaner, much healthier, and it'll still grow a really healthy child. Because the problem that I've seen a lot of times now, as I've gotten older and I've had a lot of friends with children that have used formula that didn't listen to me, is they invariably always end up having these severe allergy problems to a lot of different foods because they grow up on these formulas. And so again, if you're going to be using this stuff, make sure you're trying to look for a very clean, healthy formula. There's only a couple on the market that I've ever seen. A lot of the only ones that are decent come out of Europe, come out of Germany. They're very clean over there. A few of them are, but 98, 99% of the formulas on the shelf at your grocery store, they're garbage. So do your research. If that's the realm you have to go, I don't recommend it. But again, I understand that this whole toddler milk thing now that they're putting together, this is, again, another way, another bid to take people and transition them even further off the already ultra-pasteurized cow's milk, which already has its own array of health problems, and now put them into this powdered formula toddler milk that you can mix at your house in order to save more money to be green, I guess, so to speak. It's insanity, but that's where we are today. Also, to another news, Norwegian researchers have reported that chemicals leaching from plastic food packaging may cause more concerning and widespread harm than previously realized. And I've talked to you guys about this before. This is why it's so important that, you know, if you're eating any processed food that's packaged, never cook in this stuff in the plastic containers that they're in, especially if you get some.
Never.
Sometimes there's some formulas out there like Amy's and organic other ones. There's only a few of them on the market. You know, they may be like macaroni cheese or tortellini, and I've seen them before and I've had them. They taste pretty good, but they always come, you know, in the little containers with the cellophane wrap on top, and you're supposed to like poke two holes in it and then throw it in the microwave or throw it in the oven for 45 minutes. Do not ever cook those in those plastic containers. Even though they tell you to do it, never cook it. Always pull them out completely out of the containers, throw them in a glass Pyrex if you want to throw them in the oven, throw them in a pan, stainless pan, you can cook them on the stove. I've done it numerous times for the kids when I've had that stuff or they wanted to eat something, but do not ever cook it in the plastic. They said here that the endocrine disrupting chemicals used in plastic food packaging is causing much more harm than previously realized. Researchers led by Martin Wagner, a biologist at Northern University of Science and Technology, reported that dozens of packaging plastics and related ingredients leach into the foods at the beginning phase already with unpredictable short and long-term health effects, and gets much worse when you cook in them. Wagner and co-workers collected 36 plastic food storage containers and plastic packaged foods from retailers in the U.S., U.K., South Korea, Germany, and Norway. The samples include representations of the 7 most consumed plastics worldwide, and gives a list of all these different ones. It says countries were most selected for their high plastic consumption per capita waste. They said the sample plastic includes single-use cups, film wraps, trays, reusable storage containers, and 7 plastic packaged foods, just like I talked to you about. They went in, items containing food were emptied, washed, and analyzed. Empty containers were analyzed as is. Researchers assumed packaged item with markers identifying that plastic components were labeled correctly. Where the information was unavailable or unclear, the markers, materials, and the items were identified. The plastics are complex materials. They went on to say here that humans are exposed to these chemical ingredients that leach into the plastics, into the foods. Because this process takes time and it's unpredictable, investigators accelerated it by using a solvent to extract as many chemical components that were available. The extraction and the use of the solvent, essentially the researchers found that they took 13.5 gram pieces of each packaging material, chopped them up, and extracted them with the solvent. Investigators took samples of each and conducted chemical analysis on them. They went on to say here that although the researchers used the chemical features 37 times in the paper, they did not define them, and they found that essentially they detected over 2,146 unique chemicals throughout these tests. And unsurprisingly, the plastics that required the addition of more chemicals during their manufacture had more identifiable identified chemical components. So they go into all aspects of their research study and talks about what it does to the reproductive health, what it does to the endocrine system, and how these plastics are much more prevalent in these foods than they even realized from the beginning, and that people are eating this stuff on a regular basis. They said one of the study's takeaways was that the plastic materials are complex and consist of many more chemicals than anyone might expect. This means that the health effects studies that examine individual toxics like BPA by itself or even entire health rated classes like endocrine disruptors may miss the full extent of harm from these plastics. By analyzing finished products instead of chemical specific chemicals, the researchers captured the entire range of toxins in the plastics that are significantly more dangerous than anybody anticipated. So again, this is a long study on here. You can look at it and go into detail with it. But essentially what they're saying is here, you hear about BPA, certain specific chemicals that they test. They tested these food products and what they were contaminated with these containers, and they were loaded with many, many more chemicals than they ever anticipated, which, again, is causing a lot of problems. You see now people with endocrine issues, with reproductive issues, with immune system problems, and the list goes down the line. So be very cautious about using plastics, especially Tupperware. If you're going to use Tupperware, it's best to use glass Tupperware if you can get a hold of it. I know it's a little bit more, you know, it's harder to make sure you don't break it. If you are going to use Tupperware, make sure you're using a very hard Tupperware. Don't use that flimsy plastic Tupperware that's on the market now that's real cheap, but you can sit there and bend it. Usually, rule of thumb is the softer the plastic is, the more chemicals are in it, and the easier it is to leach into the food supply, Dad. What do you want to add on that?
Well, I see people all the time, they get these really cheap water bottles that just, they're unbelievably soft.
Yeah.
And they leave them in their cars. Now, if you can leave it in your car so you can wash your hands after you pump diesel fuel, that's a good idea. That's about it.
Great idea.
But, you know, if you don't want to be touching the valve, you know, the nozzles and all that kind of stuff, you don't want somebody had on their hand before they got to you. Well, actually, you do. It's mainly fecal coliform, but you don't want to know that. And so what's funny about it, I guess I just told you that. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to mess up your day. That's feces, if you don't know what that means, because they don't wash your hands when they use the bathroom. So you always need to wash your hands. So I always leave those real cheap plastic ones in my car, and then I have a towel.
I always have one or two as well.
Yeah, but I don't want to drink it. I don't have any interest in drinking it. In fact, it just is what it is. It's funny to me when you try to tell people about these endocrine disruptors. These are female compounds, female hormone compounds is what they are. And it's I didn't realize there were 2,000 different chemicals like this.
I didn't realize there were either. This research study like really blew the lid off.
Well, you know, let's stop for 1 second here. If you know about a dozen of these chemicals are going to be okay, right? That are going to soften the plastic and make sure it's it can be stretched, et cetera, without breaking, which I'm not recommending you use it. But if you know that, why would you need 2,000? Why would you need 2,000 different chemicals? Oh, that wasn't rhetorical. That was a question. Oh, I think I have an answer for that. Different chemicals have different reactions with the human body. And sometimes a person may not be as receptive to like something like BPA. So let's make sure that the BPA, if that doesn't really feminize you and turn you into a girly man and make you have a weird voice, you know, then basically let's try another 2,000 ones. Maybe we can get all 2,000 to get absorbed into your body. This is some weird stuff. You don't have to put 2,000 chemicals in the plastic to make it work. So when I read stuff like this, and you know, I was listening to Austin read it, it kind of just blows my mind that they're actually doing it. I know, it's speaking of voices, it was so funny. I was in Sarasota at the beach this weekend.
Yeah.
And I was walking around, you know, St. Armand Circle over there, and I started talking to some person who was proselytizing, and, you know, they had a little stand set up, and he goes, "You're Ted Brower, aren't you?"
Yeah.
Yeah, he goes, "I recognize your voice." I thought, oh, that's nice. Real nice guy. He was there with his wife. And, you know, the part about all this, is that, you know, if you want to have a decent outlook on life, you got to keep your testosterone up. You really do. And if you're taking all these female hormone compounds into your body through plastics and through everything else you're eating and through dairy products that aren't organic, it's going to be a real problem for you because it's going to affect testosterone. Because remember, estrogen and testosterone are antagonistic. So when you dump a bunch of estrogen into the body, it destroys the testosterone.
Lowers testosterone, yep.
And so it makes you kind of a girly man. It makes your voice, if you do it in puberty, you have a real high squeaky voice, and you're going to act kind of weird. You have a little sachet when you walk if you're not careful. Be careful with all this with the kids. And so I look at it, and I think to myself, this is nuts. This is actually happening, that people are like this. But remember, there's a movie years ago. I'm not recommending the movie because it kind of had an adult theme. It was kind of a weird movie. It was called The Graduate with Dustin Hoffman, Austin. And it was done back, you know, like I guess he was in the 40s or 50s. So it was back like a retro movie. And he was talking to a man in the movie, and the guy goes, "Plastics, plastics. That's the future, it's plastics." And I thought to myself, plastics? And nobody knew back then when that movie came out about how bad BPA was, bisphenol A, and how bad these chemical compounds were, and how they were promoting it. But remember, they had to do something about the boys that were willing to jump into doggone ships and, you know, storm the beaches of Normandy.
Yeah, the landing craft.
They had to get men that had to get testosterone down so that men would be more compliant and basically shut up and be servile and infertile. They did it with fluoride. They did it with plastics. And it's not ending. It's getting worse. More and more and more chemicals. And if that wasn't enough, they stuck the fluoride with Teflon into our food supply. So when you cook with a Teflon pot or pan or nonstick cooking surface, it gets into your blood.
Yeah, good movie if you want to watch is Dark Waters about PFOAs and Teflon.
I watched it the other night. It's not a happy feel good
movie. No, it's not.
You know, in the end, they finally reneged on the settlement they were going to do. It was a mess. This got posted this weekend on Drudge, and I'm going to read this. It's a Drudge article. It says how the U.S. Jewish liberalism metastasized into hatred of Israel. Now, that's not something you'd really see on Drudge before, but I thought that was interesting. It says, driven by the oppressor versus the oppressed dichotomy, some of America Jews have come to identify Palestinians as the underdog and therefore worthy of consideration and concern, while Israel is seen as the epitome of white colonialism. This is a strange article for me to be posted in mainstream media. After 16 years of Israel siege, Palestinian fighters from Gaza launch an unexpected attack. While the Israeli government may have just declared war, its war against the Palestinians began 75 years ago. Apartheid and Israel occupation and the partnership of the United States in them are the source of all of this violence, described the Jewish anti-Zionist organization Jewish Voice for Peace in a statement from that same day. I'm going to post this, let you read it, because I don't want to really get into any more detail of this. But I have to say something that, you know, that Cortez girl, the crazy one up there in New York, also the one who was a bartender, and they put out a help wanted sign for a congresswoman. And she basically said that she would basically, run as a Congress lady.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her? And I'm not making it up. And I'm not, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a bartender. You know, my mom owned a German beer tavern. Okay. I've tended bar before, you know, in the tavern, done all that. So I'm not saying that that's a big deal, but I'm saying
that doesn't qualify for Congress.
That it qualified for Congress. Like, I mean, that kind of came out wrong. But here's what she says. Cortez, Israel has crossed the threshold of intent on genocide. I didn't think she'd do this. I you know, it's so funny too, because I don't have a like. I don't like this woman at all, you know. But she actually said something I agree with.
That's rare.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she's ever said anything I agree with. She goes. This Cortez says that they're across the threshold of intent. On the House floor, Cortez says, if you want to know what an unfolding genocide looks like, open your eyes. It looks like the forced famine of 1.1 million, in a sense. We must write our story in this moment of what it means as who we are as Americans, and the story must be not that we are good men who did nothing. Well, I thought, okay, well done, Cortez. Well, then she turns right back around, and she just says, she can't keep her mouth shut. She says something good that she just keep going. She says that Trump ordered essentially a terrorist attack on the U.S.
I saw that.
Oh, my God. I mean, how can you say something that I agree with and come out with something so unbelievably stupid like this? Now, I'm going to read you this one now. Because I had to say, I said something positive about her, and I got to get you back into reality of who she really is. sorry. She goes, said Sonny on CNN's State of the Union, the former President Donald Trump ordered a terrorist attack on January the 6th. Host Jake Tapper said, what do you say to an independent voter or an average voter who looks at what is going on with Donald Trump? You have his assets that might be seized tomorrow. You have, by the way, he's having a hard time raising the $500 million. That's a lot of cash.
That's a lot of cash.
You also have the hush money from the district attorney, Alvin Bragg of New York. You also have the Georgia case about election interference. You also have the special counsel investigation on election interference. And you also have the classified documents case down in Florida, which basically they dismissed against Biden because they said he was too old and too senile to be tried because he's an old man with a bad memory. You remember all this.
Just can't make it up.
What do you say to a voter who says, well, that doesn't look like he's being treated equally before the law, looks like somebody that a government is going after? Cortez says, has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that has been subject to this level of criminal charges? And then she says that she ordered a cyber attack on this. Now, I'm going to stop for one second. I want to say something here about this because, Paul Craig Roberts comes back in. And he starts talking about what's happening in America and what they've done as far as, you know, for patriots. And I'm going to read you this. And this is a report from Larry Klayman. This is the example of January 6th treatment of prisoners that have not been given bail, Austin. Remember, D.C. is not a state.
Well, that's why nobody's getting pretrial release. You got guys in there that got misdemeanor charges or minor felony charges. They've been in jail now for 2.5 years up there.
And a quote directly from a letter published in the Great Way Pundit. Begging for help, for water, for medical aid, and mercy through a 4-inch by 10-inch window of cold metal doors. They've been allowed no visits from family, friends, lawyers, or clergy. No mass or Sunday worship services. Laundry returning with brown stains, with pubic hair and streaking of urine. Broken toilets that won't flush and repeatedly explode in their cells. Stuck in cells for 9 days without a shower. Solitary confinement for 25 and a half hours or more at a time. But there's more. Guards deny them hot water and keep them from going to court. They keep them from going to court. Jeez. They severely beat, mace, harass, insult, even sexually assault them. Their food is so disgusting and so low in nutrition that some prisoners are losing their eyesight, their hair, and getting scurvy from vitamin C deficiency, which will lead to leukemia in many cases. There's much, much more, all of it horrifying, and it's been going on for years in America. They conclude their letter by pleading to be transferred to Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, where at least a lot of Islamic terrorists get better treatment. Think about that. And the insistent Americans, Republicans, they're still sucking their thumbs. A population that permits fellow citizens to be treated this way has no soul, no integrity. It is a dead people. We're not permitting it. We're protesting right now. Who is in this prison in America? Immigrant invaders. Who is in prison in America? Immigrant invaders who violate law by breaking entering our country? No. No, they're not put in prison. They are housed, fed, and given money, IDs, in California, allowed to be police officers with the power to arrest Americans. The people in prison are American patriots who attended a rally for Trump, whose presidency was stolen from the American people by Democrats who rigged the voting. The United States has undergone a political coup. It's that simple. But it didn't happen under Trump. We're seeing a manifestation of it with Biden. It happened under John F. Kennedy when the CIA assassinated him. That was the coup d'etat that took place. And since that day, this group of communists that run the country now through the CIA and all the affiliating agencies that are involved with all this have been orchestrating all the things they're doing around us. A lot of us say it's because of Roswell. I'll go here for 1 second. Because Kennedy was supposedly having pillow talk with Marilyn Monroe and talk about what really happened in 1947 with Roswell. That's a trigger that happened way back when, right after World War II, that nobody wants to talk about with what happened. We actually discovered that there were really extraterrestrials out there. We would call them fallen angels. And again, this is a remnant fleet of what happened with Space Force that we talked about, you know, in the Angel Wars. But it's an interesting experience when you read this and you start to understand that people basically are being, you know, just lied to continually by our government, and that anybody who speaks the truth or went to that January 6th rally, if they broke any kind of rules whatsoever, are being held in solitary confinement, tortured and sexually assaulted and given food that's so low in nutrition. I mean, also, it's hard to believe that this is actually going on in the United States of America. And it frustrates me because, you know, as an independent journalist, I'm trying to sit here and say, okay, what's happening? I mean, I even did a positive story on Cortez today. I mean, by the way, that was very difficult to do. can't stand that woman. But the point is that we try to do it independently on both sides. I mean, why aren't these people given any kind of rights? I mean, why are they not allowed pretrial bail? I mean, why are they not allowed to see their attorneys or go to the court cases? I mean, what the heck is going on up there? I mean, is this a gulag that we have in D.C. now? Are we talking Soviet Union-style gulags? Oh, that's right. We were taken over by the communists, weren't we?
Yeah, thanks for the Frankfurt School. I don't think that was rhetorical, man. I think you just answered your own question. Yeah. I mean, this is a rogue government. When you have the FBI that's going in and arresting individuals like this and charging them with minor charges like trespassing on federal grounds, which, I mean, normally a lot of times that's not even an arrestable offense. That's like a court day ticket.
Go away.
Come back in 30 days for court. You know, do probation for six months.
You're getting a $50 fine.
Right.
Go away.
It's nothing. And you got people that basically came down to Florida that lived up there or lived down here and came back down to Florida after January 6th and, you know, got extracted out of their house at 4 a.m. by 30 FBI agents, and they're held, you know, without pretrial release in these types of conditions that are worse than Guantanamo Bay is what they're saying. And they still haven't even been able to have a settlement. What they're doing is it's essentially this Department of Justice gone rogue with this basically a war of attrition on them. They're waiting for these people to essentially settle out, because from what I've been told, majority of the people that are still there, it's because they're refusing to admit guilt. They're not admitting guilt. So no, I'm not guilty. I'm not going to admit to guilt. And so they're coming in and they're saying, okay, listen, if you accept these charges, if you plead guilty, we'll give you 1 year in probation, time served. This is going to be slapped on your record. You're going to be branded as this, and essentially, but you'll be out of jail now. And a lot of these individuals are like, no, I'm not going to do it. I didn't do anything wrong. But what did I do? I walked up on Capitol grounds, on Capitol stairs. I walked around. I took a video on property that we pay taxes on, property that we pay to maintain because there's a stolen election. And then you got Cortez running around constantly. And she just pushed the narrative. She's just a clown show. She pushed the narrative back and forth as far as what she brings up with January 6th. How many firearms were confiscated from patriots on the Capitol grounds?
None that I know of.
How many machine guns were found?
You know, if this was an insurrection, it was a coup d'etat.
Very poor insurrection.
It's the worst one I've ever seen.
That's the million-dollar question that I asked repeatedly. How many IEDs were found on individuals that were in the Capitol building, planting and improvised explosive
devices? How many people were beat up in tunnels by Capitol Police?
Right.
A lot.
Exactly. So, I mean, the numbers and the stories don't match up the narrative. And so, again, but you have to keep it going with the mainstream media. And that's what Cortez is for. You can tell her entire purpose in Congress is to push a narrative. That was she brings up the Palestine. Because, remember, you've got to have a yin and a yang with them. You've got to have a left and right.
Positive and negative
pole. You've got her coming in saying pro-Palestine, pro-this, pro-that, which, by the way, I'm not supporting what Israel's been doing over there, but I'm not a pro-Palestine person either. You know what I am? I'm a pro-American. That's a crazy concept.
Oh, God, I can't believe you said
I'm actually pro-American.
Shame on you, son.
Pro-American. Shame. Secure border?
Who raised you?
Jeez. I must have been dropped on my head. I actually like America. This is a crazy concept. Yeah. But that's what she's there to do. It's to bring that left and right narrative on a regular basis. And this is why they continue to push this. Because at the end of the day, what does it do? It keeps people talking about something that's not happening here in the United States.
Well, and what it also does, it keeps the narrative focused somewhere else.
That's exactly my point.
So what it does, I mean, it's like Paul Craig Roberts says, the Tower of Babel is a country without a language. He goes, I often speak of the U.S. as a Tower of Babel. The evidence is all around us. I just received a notice from my private supplemental insurance to Medicare. The notice stresses this language assistance services. The private company offers Medicare supplement customers communication in Spanish, Chinese, Vietnamese, Korean, Russian, Arabic, Haitian, French, Polish, just goes on and on and on. Apparently, migrants no longer expect to learn the language of their own country. And again, this goes right back to the Tower of Babel and what they learned with that. If you go ahead and split up the people and split up the power, you can't have any power. So this is what they don't want. When the American patriots speak English, we can talk to each other. But if we don't speak English anymore and everybody speaks a different language in our own country, then suddenly we become very ineffective at communication. Said a whole lot right there. Suddenly, everybody in the patriot movement becomes very ineffective at communicating what's really going on because nobody speaks the language. Suddenly, it turns into this giant Tower of Babel in which everything starts taking over. This is exactly what they did. They started all the different religions. The fallen angels did this after the Tower of Babel. Over 2,000 different religions now in the world that basically don't center on our God, the great I Am. And they did this after the Tower of Babel. That's what they did because they wanted to dilute Christianity. And of course, it didn't exist back then, but worshiping the Most High God, they wanted to promote all these other religions of, you know, worshiping Baal and Moloch and Asherah and all the rest of them in order to dilute people who are looking to the real God for truth and for direction and for guidance. And then, of course, God inserted the timeline with Christ and basically changed everything, and that got these entities that run this planet really, really upset. That's why they're really going after Christianity now. And they did for thousands of years with the Roman Catholic Church. They continually corrupted it to the point they were doing indulgences, which is basically a get-out-of-hell-free card. I know that sounds weird, but that's what it is.
That's what they were.
And so they were saying, well, your granddaddy was this, your granddaddy was that, so you got to give us all of his money and all of your money, and we'll get him out of hell. Okay, let's build a cathedral now.
There you go.
And so they built
some nice cathedrals, though. I've been over there.
They've been there for thousands of years.
And they're still there.
There's still a lot of them, except for Notre Dame. They decided to burn that one. Yeah. Now they're rebuilding that, making it politically correct and woke, which is kind of weird. But it is what it is. You stop and you look at this stuff, and you kind of go, you know, this is crazy. This is actually happening in the world right now. And if people really understood this, and I covered this last week, I think it was on Tuesday's show, if people really understood what Christianity is and the power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, they would understand what it is to be a Christian, what the power of prayer is, and why it's so important to pray every single day and go to church. Yesterday, I attended a really nice service at a different Lutheran church because I was out of town, and the guy was a Scottish. He had the coolest accent ever, and Scottish Lutheran pastor. And I thought to myself, you know, this is our right as Christians to be able to attend church freely and go unmolested on our way.
Yeah.
And if we want to go into a new church and check in a new environment or whatever, see what it's like, we can do that, as long as you stay away from some crazy denominations you got to really try to avoid. But all of these things are just part of being a Christian, being free, and having the ability to have concrete, rational thought in a country that was once the bastion of freedom for the world, the light on the hill, the shining city on the hill, as Reagan liked to call it. And we're watching that come down around us as we speak. Austin, what do you think?
No, it's kind of exactly what you're watching now, and that's why they're pushing so hard to prevent people from being able to speak freely about any topics. I mean, I was reading an article here earlier. It was interesting. It was one of my older articles on vitamin C, and it was talking about how during COVID, you know, there was so much evidence that vitamin C was unbelievably safe and effective and worked great as a known antiviral for decades, well before COVID ever even was a word. And yet nobody was allowed to talk about it. The side effects of vitamin C were almost non-existent, especially when you did the intravenous vitamin C in high doses. The effects, natural effects, health effects were super beneficial. And what's crazy about it is the risk-to-benefit ratio was clearly in favor of using vitamin C. Yet you were told on every social media platform that this was fake news, it was misinformation. That the fact checkers have done their fact checking and it was not okay for you to take vitamin C. And again, this is what happens when you start allowing certain factions in the government, certain factions in the media to control what can and can't be said. So it's something very interesting to address. Also, to another side news, Maine, guys up in Maine, congratulations on this one. They have pulled the plug, dun-dun-dun, on California-inspired electric car mandates. There you go. They basically put into place, as you guys know, Maine has a lot of rural area. I've been up to Maine before. It's pretty cool. The lobstering, the logging, the hunting. It's a really cool place for tourists up there. And so in a vote from 4-2, the Maine Board of Environmental Protection rejected the proposal to adopt the rule that would mandatorily put Mainers behind the wheel of so-called zero-emission vehicles by 2025. That was next year. And essentially, the requirement that was put into place, and this is actually voted on and adopted in 2022, and now it has been struck down. And it was going to be at least 43% of electric vehicles, 4 out of every 10 cars in just 3 years, was going to be required to be sold. Meaning you're going to have the government. This is, again, what I talked about before, how this does not work in a true free market. You had the government coming in and telling dealerships you had to sell X amount of cars. You could only sell 6 gas vehicles for 4 electric vehicles. You could not sell any more. So the ratio had to stay the same, which, by the way, it would literally eviscerate the car market, by the way. And so Maine came in and said, we're dropping this entire protocol. This is a 2022 regulation that they adopted from California that was one of the stupidest things that I ever saw regulated as far as put into place. Now they're saying Maine's dropping the entire platform. The entire mandate is being dropped now. They said the infrastructure isn't there. The people don't want it there. The ability to charge these cars isn't there. The demand isn't there. Nothing about this concept is there. And now more and more people are seeing how unbelievably horrific the resale market is and the depreciation market is on the electric vehicles. They're now saying even worse. It's even worse. Because not only are you mandating that people have to buy these cars and X amount have to be sold, you're essentially mandating that people are going to be broken upside down in finances as far as with car notes now. You know, Elon Musk really ruined the vehicle market with Tesla when he kept coming in and cutting MSRPs by $5,000 and $10,000 at a pop. /. You can't do that in a car market and have any type of formidable resale value. I told you guys this before. I had a buddy of mine. He's working at a dealership. And this guy came in, it was like a 2022 Tesla. This was like a year and a half ago. And they offered him, I think it was like $20,000 or $25,000 for the car. He had just paid like $60,000 for it the year before. $60,000. He's like, dude, you're joking. You're insulting me. They're like, no, this is, we're offering like $25,000 for it. He's like, I'm losing like $35,000 in 1 year on this car. They said, well, yeah. You know, it's what happens when MSRP keeps getting dropped and you have all these mandates and rebates on these new cars that aren't available on used cars. And again, at this point, nobody wants these vehicles anymore. And so Maine, kudos. We'll see what you guys want to do with this. And it's funny, one of the individuals, as far as it was on the board, they said, Mainers are smart. If market conditions and infrastructure were in place that made EV ownership realistic for Maine consumers, they would make the choice on their own without government coercion. And that's such a strong statement there, is if the market actually was dictating these cars, the market was actually encouraging these cars, the market was actually supporting these cars, the infrastructure was there, you wouldn't have to have government mandates forcing people to buy things they didn't need at elevated prices they couldn't afford with resale values that were absolutely abysmal. You wouldn't have to do it. So again, something to see there with Mainers. I'm glad they actually got this out there. Also, too, in other health fitness news, increased fitness lowers risk of prostate cancer by 35% in this new study. According to a new cohort study published in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, increasing one's aerobic fitness by 3% can reduce the risk of developing prostate cancer by 35%. This is crazy here. And it talks about the findings in the study contribute significantly to our knowledge of the relationship between cardiorespiratory fitness and prostate cancer, as is the first study to investigate changes rather than the fitness aspect in the cardiorespiratory than a single time point and focus on prostate cancer specifically. So what it goes on to say here is cardiorespiratory fitness is how well the heart and lungs can deliver oxygen to muscles during exercise. In the study, the research team looked at records of nearly 58,000 men from Swedish National Occupational Health Profile Database. The men in the study took at least two cardio fitness tests where they rode stationary bikes, which, by the way, that's something I'll get into in a second. It's not actually very healthy for you.
Nope.
On the prostate aspect. But during the test, the men's oxygen intake was measured. Higher volumes of oxygen indicated greater fitness level, and the database indicated information on the men's physical fitness, lifestyle, and body mass index. And what they found is here is divided into groups. They found individuals whose heart fitness was improved by 3% had a massive decrease in issues as far as with prostate when they got older. So what they're saying is here now, exercising, cardiovascular health, oxygenation of the blood and oxygenation of the tissue is crucial for maintaining overall organ health in general. And one of the key factors also too on this is also the prostate support. That has key nutrients in it that really help out with overall prostate health. And now the research that they did here on stationary bikes, that has been shown now over the years that is not a very healthy standpoint, even riding regular bikes. Make sure if you're going to do this, if you're a man, you get a really, really healthy seat, Dad. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
That's been linked to a lot of issues with prostate because the pressure it puts on the prostate when you're going for bicycle rides for 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day on these tiny little seats. To put all the pressure on the square inch per pressure right in that spot.
Well, it works better from a leg extension standpoint because you can actually get a better cardio workout on the bike. But
from racing, you have to do it. I get it.
But from just a leisurely bike ride, why are you going to put your prostate under that kind of pressure?
Correct.
Because you're going to be sitting up. You're not going to be bending over anyhow. See, a lot of these racers, they're putting a lot of weight on these handlebars.
Correct.
Getting the weight off their
pelvis. Seat most of the time anyways.
But these guys that just sit around here with these little skinny seats, they end up, you know, for hours on end in the cardio room. They end up having prostate problems in many cases. Now, there's several other things as far as prostate you got to look at, too. You got to be taking zinc every day. That's really, really important. You've got to be getting cardiovascular exercise, which this talks about. But I don't recommend vasectomies because I've read some studies that said that when you get a vasectomy, you get an increased risk of prostate cancer. My opinion, some people's opinions, you guys can do your own research on that. And you need to be having relations with your wife on an ongoing basis. I can't be any more blunt than that. I don't know what else to say besides that. You've got to use it or you're going to have all kinds of problems with it because you're not getting the vascularity back to it and the blood flow back to it. So this is a very complex series of plumbing events that happens in your body when you start doing all this stuff, and it makes it very difficult to maintain it if you don't use it. So ladies, gosh, this always it's kind of embarrassing to talk about this stuff, but just ladies, you got to take care of your husband, period. You think, well, I don't want to do that. I'm 50 years old. Well, so is he, and he's going to be coming into this prostate thing now, so you got to take care of him too. Well, enough said of that. Vaping made my lungs collapse twice at the age 20, and now they're permanently scarred.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Carly Ozerk, now 20, says doctors told her that she could now die before the age of 40. After her second lung collapse, the doctors refused her right lung to her chest. I didn't even think they could do that. Doctors fused her right lung to her chest. That sounds really awful.
That sounds painful.
It sounds like that's kind of a horrible treatment protocol. The 20-year-old vaping addict has told she may not be survived to her 40th birthday after near constant urge to vape led her to burn two holes into her lungs.
Gosh.
She picked up the habit in 2018 when she was 15 years old because she thought it made her look, her words, not mine, quote, badass. Just say that. She probably shouldn't have said that. She soon relied on the device so much that she was smoking an entire 600-puff device every day.
It's a lot of nicotine, too, on the cardiovascular system. Jeez.
I wonder how many cigarettes that would be. It's got to be a bunch. Doctors told her to quit vaping after her right lung first collapsed at 21, which left her feeling like her organ was on fire. But after 3 months of on-and-off vaping, she began using devices full-time again, only to suffer a second collapse of her right lung a year later. So, guys, listen to me. If you're a kid, this stuff's addictive. Don't do it. I mean, I don't have to say about that. Just don't do it. I mean, it's just
45 cigarettes.
Yeah, 45 cigarettes.
600 disposable device of 600 puffs is equal to approximately 45 cigarettes.
Two packs a day. Now, my mom used to smoke 5 packs a day. I joke. I'm not kidding you. Now, but she wasn't really inhaling it. She didn't inhale it, which I guess that kept her alive. But then she lived to be in her 90s. But remember when these older people who smoked a lot when they were younger, who lived old, many of them were raised on farms and were raised, you know, with organic foods and didn't have all the chemicals in the food supply and all the poisons of the food supply, like glyphosate now. And so they lived longer in spite of the fact that they basically abused their bodies with nicotine and with alcohol. And, you know, with pork and all kinds of other garbage.
Well, you got to remember this thing I talked about on the show about a week and a half ago when I did a big thing on these vapes is the cigarettes and the tobacco, they're loaded with all types of chemicals in general. But these vapings in general, they put all types of even more advanced chemicals because of the flavoring and the stabilizers and all these different things they put in them now. And they're now showing that a lot of these vape cigarettes sometimes can be even more toxic than cigarettes, and they're not a healthy substitute whatsoever. They massively increase all types of lung problems, including what they refer to now as popcorn lung, because essentially what's going on with the alveoli. This stuff's not healthy. It's not a good alternative. I get it if you've been smoking cigarettes and you're using it to wean off of it because you can't come off the nicotine right away. I know nicotine's super addictive. I get it. But the fact that these kids now are getting into this stuff at 12, 13, 14 years old, I told you guys the other day, I had a friend of mine, one of the kids they knew basically got suspended again for getting caught with a vape in, he's in middle school, got caught with a vape in the doggone bathroom. And they said that he talked to one of the principals there, and he said that they basically have a stack of write-ups now, like a stack of write-ups. It's just a daily thing now in middle school and high school that they're writing kids up for vaping in school, and they don't know how to stop it. It's becoming an epidemic now with these younger kids because these kids that are already in a – it's a very weird place when you're a teenager. You're already trying to figure out who you are. And now you're throwing in this nicotine. And see, the problem with it is – and this is the issue that's happened with vapes. Back in teenage years, when you're around people smoke cigarettes, you had to go get a cigarette. You had to make sure you had a lighter. And you'd go run around the back of school, or you had to go sneak off after school and you had to go light up a cigarette. These vapes now are so available, you can literally sit there almost in class or walking down the hallway and you can hit these things all day long and get constant nicotine trigger with dopamine hits all day long without ever having to go through the turmoil of lighting a cigarette and going outside and then smelling like cigarettes when you come in and everybody knows you're smoking a cigarette. You can hit these things all day. So it's causing the addictive nature of nicotine to be much, much higher than cigarettes ever were, A, because of the doses of the nicotine that's in these cigarettes, that's in these vapes, and the fact that you have constant nicotine engagement in the body all day long. Not, oh, you know, it's a cigarette break. It's been 2 or 3 hours, I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette now. Oh, it's 2 or 3 hours later, I'm gonna go smoke a cigarette. They do it all day long.
You know what it reminds me of, and it's gonna sound kind of weird because it's a really weird, you know, segue here.
Okay.
It's pornography.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when kids, you know, back in the 60s and 50s or whatever, there were very few magazines with girly pictures in them.
Yeah.
And the kid had to sneak if he was like 10 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old. He had to get on his bicycle and, you know, sneak to the store and hopefully hide in the back somewhere and get somebody to buy him a, you know, Playboy magazine or whatever. And that was one of those deals. It was one of those things that it wasn't readily available.
Yeah.
Okay. And suddenly the porn thing has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger until now so many people are addicted to this trash. The crazy part is kind of like the cigarettes. Back in the 50s and 60s, they started passing laws against them. Look, if you're not 21, you can't use a cigarette machine.
Yeah.
If you're not 21, you can't buy cigarettes. You got to show an ID and all the rest of this stuff. And suddenly now they don't make it so it's like that anymore. It's easy to get these vapes. It's easy to use them in the backyard. It's easy to have people not know you're doing it.
Right.
You know, I talk to these guys, a lot of times that are going on dates, and they say the girl gets up like every 30 minutes, runs to the bathroom. Either she's got a severe bladder infection or something else is going on. And when invariably they ask her, what the heck are you doing? And invariably they find out she's vaping in the bathroom and she's embarrassed to let him know, but she's so hooked on nicotine she doesn't feel normal unless she's high on nicotine because of the, well, like you said, the dopamine triggers. Now, one other story, and it's so funny, it happens all the time on this show. You and I release a show and we start talking about stuff. Suddenly Joe Rogan starts talking about it, or the Daily Mail starts talking about it, and I always find that interesting. And I'm going to read you this just came out today. I see killer aliens in my sleep. The terrifying symptoms of sleep paralysis. We covered this last week.
Yeah, you did.
And the mysterious deaths of the 100 men who suffered from the phenomenon. They were actually killed in their sleep. And, you know, it's funny about that. I'm not going to read the article to you. It gets really weird. But, you know, to me it seems strange that this is happening more and more and more and more as CERN, the Hadron Collider, where they had the goddess Shiva come out and had a mock human sacrifice a few years ago. And they have actually a demonic god sitting in front of this place, a giant statue. And they came out and we talked about this before and had a mock human sacrifice in front of this god. And they said everybody was drunk, so they're having fun having a mock human sacrifice. I mean, we talked about this before.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I've been drunk 4 times in my life, you know, never since I became a Christian. And, you know, but I never had the inclination to go out and get a knife.
Mock human sacrifice on after a party.
I mean, who does stuff like that? Okay. Well, these people do. Well, they're opening up portals and they're letting a lot of weird stuff into our realm. And so now we're seeing more and more and more of the sleep paralysis. They're trying to justify this. It's gotten so bad, Austin, that they're giving all these excuses as to why this is happening, about being demon attacked. And now we have 100 people who've died from this. I mean, this is some serious, serious stuff. I mean, we never really heard about this, you know, years ago, and now it's getting worse. And I personally think it's because of these opening portals and all the stuff that they're doing from a satanic standpoint globally. That's what I think is going on. But it's just part of it. And I wanted to mention this because we covered this in detail last week and what to do about it, by the way, and how to stop all of this stuff. So listen to the show from last Tuesday if you want to get you want to get a little preaching from Ted. You know, this guy, like Christianity 101 last week. Somebody sent me a letter. I'm all caught up on my Ask Dr. Ted B letters. Finally caught up. But by the way,
they make vibrate for a reason on phones.
Yeah, I had it on vibrate. I turned it off. I lost it the other day. Sorry about that.
Train's coming to town.
Hey guys, listen to me, please. Don't call. I know who that is. And I know you're watching the show right now.
Why'd you call her this live show?
No, because they want me to make a comment. Don't do that, please. You can just see what.
Don't make me call you out.
Yeah, don't. I don't want to tell you whatever his name is. But the point is, don't do that. But I'm all caught up. But Ask Dr. Ted B. I'm sorry. Ask Dr. Ted B. at yahoo.com. This is not a, how should I say, a 911 helpline. Don't do that. I mean, I've got thousands of these emails, and I may not get to it for a month.
Well, no, and we have the 1-800 number at the office. If you guys have questions or anything about office, for supplemental questions or diet issues, you know, Steve's up there on the phone, Ruben's on the phone, I'm on the phone sometimes. Feel free to give us a call at any time and ask us stuff. You can get immediate response. We pick up the phone. We're there to help you out. Or ask a question about Testo Plus. You ask a question about GHI. If you got a question about that, give us a call. We can help you out with a lot of that very, very quickly and very knowledgeable to the office.
Well, I'm sure the person wants to talk about sleep paralysis. You know, he wants to be a guest on the show, so he's using my iPhone. This is live. Okay, this is live. So when you call me up from 10 to 11 Eastern Standard Time, we don't edit this show. It's not scripted. You know, it's not going to be edited and sent out.
It's silence for.
Yeah, that was my bad.
Or do not disturb.
I know, but I lost the phone. You know, have you ever done that also? You put the phone on silent, and I can't find it. And that's so frustrating, you know? And you know, it's kind of like, you know, you have the remote. This happened to me once in the RV years ago. You got the remote. You got a black remote laying on a brown cushion, a tan cushion in the RV in the motorhome. And you look all over the RV and you don't see it. I'm going to get kind of weird here in a second. And all of a sudden Sharon is with me back then and she's looking all over the RV. Now this thing's sitting right in the middle of this
hasn't moved.
It hasn't moved. And nobody sees it. We go through the entire motorhome, you know, and suddenly we walk back into the living room area of the motorhome.
And you see it.
There it's laying there. And you go, wait a minute. You know what it reminds me of? Dun, 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 dun. Glitch in the Matrix.
Yeah.
No further comment.
Deja vu. It's all the same black cat.
Something's weird. When nobody sees it laying there and suddenly it shows up, did somebody or some other entity who was running around put it back there after they're messing with you a little bit? I didn't say that. I'm asking a question. It was more rhetorical than anything else, but that's some weird stuff when that happens. And
or you just didn't see it. It was a glitch in the color in your eye process.
Maybe I just didn't see it because, you know, in the back of the eyeball, you know, where the optic nerve goes into the retina, you have a blind spot.
Yep.
Maybe you didn't see it. Maybe Sharon didn't see it. Maybe we looked for 4 hours to find the remote we didn't find after 4 hours. But it gets weird. I'm almost out of time. We're done. I love you guys.
And your phone party.
I'm done.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate the support at healthmasters.com. Be sure if you need anything, check us out. Product of the week, Testo Plus. Grab it on sale right now. Call us if you need anything. Healthmasters.com, my friends. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk again tomorrow, as always.
By the way, got to pray for you guys. Love you.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.